Did you know that Gazette print subscribers have full access to digital content at no extra cost? Activate your digital subscription now to enjoy the latest headlines, sports updates, and more at thegazette.com or through the Gazette mobile app. Read the page-by-page daily newspaper with the Green Gazette, perfect for on-the-go reading. Activate your subscription at thegazette.com/activate or call 319-398-8333.
How's it going, everyone, this afternoon? It's a clear, crisp, finally feels like fall, right? Wednesday afternoon when we're taping this. So Jeff Johnson here from the Gazette, along with my friends Jeff Linder and KJ Pilcher for another edition of the Triple Option Prep Football Podcast. We're here to kind of go through week 6, what happened last week, look ahead at week 7. We've got some RPI, official RPI rankings from the Iowa High School Athletic Association for the biggest three classes. So we'll kind of run through those and kind of came up with who's got more. We're gonna put KJ on the spot instead. Woo! Of the opposite way.
Oh, I'm ready.
So, boys, I guess just your thoughts on week 6 in general. Why don't we go through where you guys were at in your games Friday night, and tell us what happened. And I don't care whichever one of you wants to start, I guess.
Go ahead, KJ.
Sure. I was at Xavier for their game against Waverly Shell Rock, and it was my first time watching Xavier this year, and boy, are they good. I know that sounds like a pretty dumb comment given what they've done through the first 5 weeks, but man, just watching what they were able to do against Waverly Shell Rock and Cash Park, what a great passer. Boy, he dropped in some passes and put it on places where only his receivers could go. They got on the scoreboard early when he hit Sam Luke for a 30-yard pass. And one of those passes where, he put it right on his back shoulder where Luke was able to adjust, and he was the only one that could make a catch there. And that got him on the board. Then the defense put together another 3-and-out. Then Parks, I think that's the one he dropped in on Dusty Cook's hands down the middle of the field. And Cook ran it in. I think that was like a 56-yarder, a little longer, and then the Saints were off and running at that point. And very impressed with the Saints overall, obviously Cash Parks. But, man, the difference maker, I think, for them is the offensive line this year. I think that's something that may have been not – bad in recent years, but just not to the level of some of those teams that we've seen. I don't think Parks was pressured very often. They might have had one or two plays for negative yards, but not very many. So I tell you, Xavier looks like it has one of those classic Dwayne Schulte type teams.
Let's before we go on, KJ, JJ, let's put you in Dwayne Schulte's shoes and his headset this week. They go to Waterloo East. Let's assume that it's the mismatch that we all probably think it's going to be. How long do you go with your studs? Do you go, what do you go, a quarter and a half? Do you go a half? I mean, about the time you start horsing around is when somebody gets hurt. And so what do you guys think?
Well, Jeff, I'm just going to say right now that, there's nothing for granted. We got to make sure we do our job next week. We gotta make sure we bring it, because Waterloo East, they have some good players and some good studs up there. I thank you guys for all that you guys do. Appreciate your guys' coverage of us. And I say probably about half, And then I would probably guess the second half will be reserves.
Well, you know, it kind of just starts with, you know, everybody doing their jobs, basically. And if they do their jobs for a half or so, then I think that's pretty good. And, you know, it's all about the scout team. And you know,
we might see a lot of the scout team on set on Friday.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, those are good opportunities. And in all seriousness, I know they do look to try to get that opportunity when they have it. And this week, it's probably one of those chances to let those guys that do have a good impact during the week in practice get out on, you know, get some reps in live games. So that's why I think after halftime, assuming things go as maybe expected, that those guys will get their opportunities and get their reps and they'll reward them for what they do in practice this Friday.
Yeah, and Xavier and Schulte, that's never been a program who's going to really put it on somebody.
No, and as my cat El Jefe says, hello to everybody. They were hurt last year a lot. True. They had a lot of injuries, a lot of major injuries. So yeah.
And they were young.
Yeah, and they, you know, so they've been able to kind of stay away from the injury bug so far, knock on wood, right? So I'm sure that probably plays a factor, but in you know, like you said, how long the starters play, but you do have to make sure that you win the game first and foremost. Yeah. So
yep. It's, you know, they get off the bus and 0-0. So
exactly. 100%. So
yeah.
Jeff, you were,
I was at Manchester.
There we go. We saw a good ball game.
It was maybe the best game I've seen this year. And I had some good brisket. So that's always
wow. Fun.
Yeah. So, Manchester, West Delaware and Independence, West Delaware won the game 42-27. Just a really well played game, just a fun environment. It's always fun to go up that direction. And, you know, first of all, Independence's Christopher Myers really good. 150 rushing yards, 152 passing yards. Throws a pretty nice ball. I think he's really good. But West Delaware, my goodness. They ran for 318 yards on 57 carries, and it wasn't just one guy. McCoy Rowling ran for 133, Jack Catwell 104, Austin Schneider's the quarterback, ran for 71, and then Wyatt Johnson had one carry, and that was a tidy little 10-yard touchdown run. So just a lot of fun. Two really good teams, and I'm going to get to see Independence again this week at home against Benton Community, another really good team out of that district.
You know, the thing that gets me, first off, that trio of rushers that they have might be the best that I think any team has right now as far as a quarterback and a pair of runners that have different skills.
Yeah.
The thing that amazes me about this team and their ability to run the ball is they have a whole new list of starters. And I know we talked about this after the Waller game, but that just blows my mind that you're plugging in five brand new starters in up front and you're running the ball the way you are and you're unbeaten and you're climbing up the RPI and the, you know, the ranking polls with a whole new set of, linemen, and that doesn't happen very often. That's a rare feat. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I agree.
I was at Kingston Stadium, meanwhile, guys, Friday night, and saw West Des Moines Dowling really just kind of overwhelm gradually overwhelm, I guess I would be the best way to put it. Cedar Rapids, Kennedy, 34-0. And I mean, the yardage, Dowling's very, very diverse offensively, can run it and throw it. Looking at the stats, 221 yards passing, 249 rushing. I mean, that's about as balanced as you can get. But the most impressive thing was held Kennedy to about 100 yards. And Kennedy never penetrated Dowling territory. The closest it got was its own 43-yard line. And, you know, Kennedy's got some players, you know, offensively, certainly. But that was just a very impressive performance. Dowling, I mean, Dowling's always got dudes, right? And there's no that's not different this season. I mean, they've got, you know, Ian Middleton's a really good running back. They've got two good receivers on the outside. Sam Drexler, who I think was an All-State kid last year. And then Jeffrey Roberts, the transfer from Ames, who's going to Iowa State. And then, you know, big offensive line, big defensive line. And, you know, Dowling's, I mean, this – and we talk all the time, right, guys? It's like have the teams over here in 5A – you know, caught up a little bit to the teams over in Central Iowa. And, you know, after watching Dowling against Kennedy and then watching Waukee Northwest against Prairie, I mean, the answer to that is probably no.
It's going to be up to Liberty and West, isn't it?
Yeah, and I still wouldn't – you know, I still like this Prairie team. I mean, I know got beat by a really good Northwest team and you know, stumbled against Bettendorf, but I think it has a lot of talent. But it's just these teams, you know, like Northwest and Dowling, they just look different. And, you know, I guess I saw Waukee too earlier in the year and against, I think it was Kennedy.
And
beat Kennedy. And we talked about this off air, guys. I mean, they're the RPI, they're in the playoffs right now with a 2-4 record. That's all you need to know, because they play such a tough schedule. But, yeah, I mean, it's just and we've gone through the reasons why. You know, population certainly is a big one, and enrollment with school enrollment, and then socioeconomics, yeah, certainly of the suburbs and in Des Moines, and it's a significant advantage anyway. So, yeah, Dowling looks the part. It's good to catch up to Tom Wilson. KJ, you know him pretty well too. He's a Hall of Fame coach, and I think a really top notch guy. Good buddies with Kurt Ritchie, and that's all you need to know, because we all know how good a dude Kurt Ritchie is. Who just picked up his second win in a row at Cornell. So
they've got a winning conference record right now.
Very nice, very nice. So that's kind of where we all, us three were on last Friday night. We'll kind of run through some scores here real quick. In 5A, other games that we didn't touch on, Iowa City High scored the first 7 points against Southeast Polk. Unfortunately, Southeast Polk scored the last 56 for a 56-7 win. Ooh. Iowa City West all over Muscatine, 69-7. Iowa City Liberty beat Davenport Central, 54-7. We have Cedar Rapids Prairie, 63-20 over Dubuque Wallert, or Dubuque Hempstead. My apologies. Dubuque Senior Rally in the second half to beat Jefferson, 21-10. And I'm missing one. Oh, Linmar with a 29-0 win over Pleasant Valley. And KJ, Jeff, and I also talked about that. That's two in a row for the Lions, who maybe seem to, I mean, they're kind of lingering on that outside looking in, but kind of giving themselves a little bit of a chance in the playoffs, wouldn't you guys say?
I don't know if I'd say they're lingering. I'd say they're pushing their way back into consideration. When I thought they were 2-3 weeks ago, I thought they were done. But they you know, their first four games, they played Prairie, Centennial, Liberty, Kennedy. That's four good teams. And I was really surprised to see that score against Pleasant Valley last week. I saw 29-0. I thought I was sure that Pleasant Valley was the winner in that game.
Looking at the 4A scoreboard, KJ mentioned he saw Xavier beat Waverly Shell Rock 42-21. Clear Creek Amana got past Marion 35-13. Decorah over Cedar Rapids, Washington 53-21. Western Dubuque with a big win 14-13 over North Scott. And that was a pretty big game district wise, class 2A. Mount Vernon beat Center Point Urbana 34-14. Davenport Assumption over Maquoketa 42-7. Dubuque Weller gets past DeWitt Central 17-12. That's such an interesting district that still is very much up in the air.
Yeah.
And Clear Lake over Benton Community 35-7. Solon beats up on Keokuk 58-6. West Delaware beats Independence 42-27. And then Williamsburg does it again, boys. 26-18 over Nevada. That incredibly tough non-district schedule is coming home to roost. All of a sudden, Williamsburg is kind of in control of that district after back-to-back victories over ranked teams in Nevada and Des Moines Christian the week before, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they got winner set this week. Probably a should win. And then they open at home against Knoxville and Saydell. Will win. So, they own the keys to the district title race, and I think they're going to win it.
You remember a handful of years ago, it might have been one of the years they made it to the semis at the Unidome, where they started 0-3.
Yeah.
Well, they lost to Solon and maybe Mount Vernon and somebody else. And we're wondering, oh, geez, what happened? Or maybe Western Dubuque even.
Yeah, might have been Regina.
Yeah. Yeah, and we were sitting here thinking, oh, wow, this, it was a tough non-district. Thought maybe they had dropped down a little bit. And then once district play started, they just ran through the district. And next thing you know, they're at the Unidome.
Mm-hmm. And this isn't a bad district. Those top two teams, two teams, Des Moines Christian and Nevada, those are good teams.
Right. So maybe Austin Blythe has taken a page out of Kurt Ritchie's playbook. And they've got a team that kind of persevered those early non-district games. And, look at the teams that they've gotten beat by. They're pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a team that really gonna surprise some here moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at the Class 2A scoreboard from last Friday night. Centerville beat South Tama 34-13. Has a sophomore quarterback named Murdoch, who apparently is getting some big time Division I attention from Centerville, which is not known as a football hotbed, but I think Mason is his first name, Mason Murdoch, but he's a sophomore and he's lighting up the scoreboard passing wise for Centerville. So they beat South Tama 34-13. Waukon drops a game to top five rank Osage 47-24. Crestwood over North Fayette Valley 21-17. Vinton Shelsburg over Owine 49-6. West Branch beats Tipton 43-16. Mediapolis gets past West Liberty 16-14. Mid Prairie continues to roll 56-0 over Central Lee. The big Monticello-Anamosa game goes to Anamosa 24-14. And then I thought the most significant 2A game around, at least around here, guys, was Bellevue continuing its undefeated season 33-28 over Albernett.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah, 6-0 Bellevue is, I think still has a very tough schedule remaining, if I remember correctly. But certainly a huge win over what we know is a good Albernett team. So, in 1A we had.
Before you go on, JJ, yeah. I'm going to interrupt here.
Yeah,
big time kudos both for South Tama and Vinton Shelsburg. South Tama. I think they both had losing streaks going into the season of somewhere in the 20 game range. Is that true? Yeah. South Tama.
I think Vinton's was 22 or 23 games.
Yeah.
Before
I think South Tama might have been somewhere in that neighborhood too. And I think they broke it against Vinton Shelsburg.
Okay. But,
so and South Tama is 3-3. They got two district wins. One of them's against Davis County. They're going to make the playoffs. And they might be the third team in that district. Vinton Shelsburg. Let me see what they got left here. Where are you, Vinton Shelsburg? They've got two district wins. It's going to be tough for them. Well, they've got Dyke and Denver left. You know, I think they can probably compete with both those teams.
Yeah.
Even if they would lose out, I think they're in the playoffs. So. You know, you know Coach Hadachek a lot better than I do, both of you. But he's doing something right. And, you know, two really feel-good stories, I think, out there in 2A in our area.
And, Jeff, I might add, I think Denver's 1-5. I just came across a record. So I think certainly a winnable game there. But, yeah, to your point, obviously, it's good when communities that haven't had success on the football field you know, turn around and KJ, you know, Joe, better than any of us. He's a terrific football coach, and you kind of knew he was going to get some things done at Vinton Shelsburg. So,
yeah, you know, and I know from the time that, you know, when they kind of reached out where people, you know, tried to get him to come back into coaching, you know, it stepped down from Union, then actually came back and was helping out when somebody reached out to see if he wanted to take over at Vinton. And I know before season even started, right when I think the school board was getting ready to approve his hiring, he was already at orientation talking to kids to come out. You know, shaking the rattling cages, shaking bushes to get kids out. Said, came across two farm kids that were really big, if I remember correctly. Said, oh, how long have you guys been playing football? They're like, yeah, we don't play football. He's like, you're playing. You know, and he's the kind of, that's the kind of person he is. Not only does he have a great football IQ, he's very intense, but he also has this love for to help kids be their best, if that makes sense. And that stuff, I think you're starting to see the traction with that. Yeah. And he knew it was going to be, it wasn't going to be an immediate, there wasn't going to be immediate success. But I think getting those wins, I think you're seeing that starting to build, that foundation's getting laid there in that program. And it doesn't surprise me, wouldn't surprise me once he gets a set of seniors through there for 4 years that they'll be really good.
I think it's great. And, you know, why can't it happen at Vinton Shelsburg? It's basically right. The same kind of community as Independence, as Manchester, and it can be done there. It can be done anywhere.
By the way, just a little funny anecdote about going out there his first year. Their first game was against rival Benton Community. I didn't realize it when I got out there, but I was wearing a bright blue shirt and a yellow undershirt. And I was sitting on the picnic tables there, and they kept looking back and looking back. And finally, I got approached by assistants going, can I help you? And I was like, oh, I just came here to talk to Coach Hadachek. And he walked out there. I saw Hadachek kind of whip his head around a couple times, and then he realized who it was. but they thought they had somebody scouting or enemy across spy. The lines. So.
Yeah.
I don't know, if you were spying on a future opponent, you'd think that you probably wouldn't wear your school's colors. Maybe not.
Well, you never know.
But I understand the trepidation from these guys. Okay, who's this interloper? You know who that is? No, I don't know who that is. Anyway,
he's got a notepad and pen with him too.
Oh, I think he's writing down our formations.
I'm trying to throw a segue into Dwayne Banks Field from state baseball, but I just can't quite get it.
We'll keep that one quiet for a little while. Yeah. Looking at Class 1A scores from the area from last Friday, quick. Comanche beat MFL Marmac 21-12. Durant over Cardinal 56-8. LaPorte City Union loses its first game of the season. Union Community falls to Hudson 27-18. Jessup edges Appleton Parkersburg 20-19.
That's a surprise.
That one surprised you?
Yeah.
Iowa City Regina beats Sigourney Kyoto 41-7. And I think that's all the scores from the area. Oh, Lisbon Northeast. Northeast beats Lisbon 34-21. In that contest, looking at Class A from around here, we had BGM 41-14 over Earlham, and they're really doing a nice job. I know the schedule really firmed up for BGM, but they're going to make the playoffs, right, Jeff?
Yeah, I think so.
BGM? Yeah, and that's a heck of a story going, as we mentioned in the earlier podcast, going from 8-player to 11-player. So good on the Bears. East Marshall beats East Buchanan 31-8. Linville Sully with a big win over Madrid 15-6. North Lynn continues to stay undefeated 49-0 over North Cedar. Pekin in overtime stays unbeaten with a 28-22 win over North Mahaska. Wapsie Valley 40-14 over South Winneshiek. Nashua Plainfield 51-22 over Starmont. St. Ansgar beats Postville 65-0. And Maquoketa Valley 31-6 over Midland, another one of those schools going from 8 to 11 player. And then speaking of 8 player, we'll round out things here. We've got Springville 50-18 over Lansing Key. Cedar Ridge Christian, which I believe was Waterloo Christian before, right? If I remember correctly. Change the name. They're 41-26 over Elkader Central.
Yeah, hold on.
Kalamazoo.
Cedar Ridge Christian is actually now located in the old Cedar Falls High School.
Really?
Is that right? Yeah. Wow. That seems like a lot of territory for a small school, but good for them. Good for them. Kalamazoo Wheatland, that's everybody should learn something every day, Jeff. There's my learned knowledge
today. I haven't learned anything yet.
Kalamazoo Wheatland outscores Central City 70-68. Really big win for Edco, 58-28 over Easton Valley. That was our number 6 and 7 ranked teams in 8-player. Edco, sophomore quarterback Jack Steger's having a heck of a season. You know, they've got a new head coach and Alex Hanna, although he's been around the program for 16 years, was a D coordinator for James Rochford. So they just keep winning. That's a program that's established a winning culture, and Edco continues to win. Big win over Easton Valley last week. So elsewhere, Colonesco 66-18 over Meskwaki Settlement. Montezuma 72-16 over Melcher Dallas. And English Valley is 54-52 over Waco there. So anything around the state that we didn't touch on that really kind of last week that kind of caught your attention, guys?
I think we've touched on pretty much all of it so far.
Well, did you mention Beckman Cascade? Because that was one of the results that really stood out to me there in 1A, where I thought those two might have been a really close or evenly matched game, and Beckman proved that it wasn't. I think it was 48-13 or something like that. Beckman's off to they're putting together an outstanding season. They're 5-1, and you know, Cascade's 4-2, and they hadn't lost since the opener 22-20 to Bellevue, which was their closest game pretty much this season. And we've talked about Bellevue being unbeaten, probably going to be unbeaten until they have Tipton this week, and then we'll see what that matchup with West Branch after that. But boy, that was an impressive showing for Beckman to win and win so decisively.
Agreed. I apologize. Yeah. for not hitting on that one. That was a huge win, certainly for the Blazers. The ISSAA.
Bellevue's won four of its six games by 10 points or less.
So they're quiet.
And that's certainly not a knock. I mean, they know a way they know a way to pull these games out, and good for them.
Exactly, right? I think Iowa State was kind of one of those teams. How'd they get to 10 wins last year, right? I think they won a lot of one possession type games. So, I mean, there's a skill in that. Absolutely. Before we hit next week or this coming week's games, the IHSAA came out with its first RPI ratings percentage index polls, or whatever you want to call it, through week six for the three biggest classes, 3A, 4A, and 5A. Jeff, you wrote a little something on that. And this is how basically, you know, there's going to be some at-large berths in some of the classes in 3A and 4A, correct? And then 5A is total RPI. Top 16 get in. So 3A, I guess, top five, Clear Lake, West Delaware, Solon, Sioux City, Helan, and Sioux Center, and then Mount Vernon sitting in there at six. And one of the things that really caught my eye was from the same district, right? Clear Lake and West Delaware are 1-2, same district. Independence, same district, is number 10, and Benton Community's in there at number 12. All from the same district.
And Iowa Falls Alden's at 14.
And yes, I forgot all about Iowa Falls Alden. So obviously not all those schools are going to make the playoffs, unfortunately, right?
That makes this Benton Independence game Friday huge. I'm positive that there's going to be a third team that comes out of that district. Boy, it would be a stretch to think that there's going to be a fourth. So, and Benton's already got three losses, and they still play West Delaware. So that makes this a really, really big game for the Bobcats. Independence has a little bit more wiggle room because they've just got two losses. They might, if they would be the fourth team, they probably have a fair to decent chance to get in. But, boy, you just don't want to leave anything to chance.
And I look at these, and obviously there's going to be a lot of changing with the last 3 weeks and results and everything, but it's just kind of interesting to me. A record obviously plays a large part in this, and that's why you see in 3A, Des Moines Christian is number 7, Williamsburg's number 17. Williamsburg just beat Des Moines Christian. So, and obviously district play supersedes everything. So if Williamsburg, you know, wins out, it'll automatically get in, even if it's finishes 17. I don't think that.
And I guess the way you look at this is if Williamsburg wins its district, it's going to be no lower than six as far as where it'll be in the seedings, because there's six district champions. And I'd say it's almost a sure thing that they would be the bottom of those six, but that would mean a home game for the first round.
And the other district that I think is really, really up for grabs because there's a lot of interplay here in the last 3 weeks is District 3, where you got Mount Vernon, Dubuque, Wallert, Davenport Assumption, and DeWitt Central, all again within the top 16. And there's Mount Vernon and Wallert haven't played yet, for instance, right? And I'm not sure, has Mount Vernon played Assumption yet? I'm not even sure about that.
And they play Central DeWitt this week, so they haven't played any of them.
Yeah, they still have to play all three of those teams that are sitting right with them, DeWitt, Assumption, and Wallert. I'm pretty sure Wallert and Mount Vernon might be the regular season finale in that one.
Okay. But you look at the two districts representing, you know, Eastern Iowa there. I mean, those are two really, really freaking good districts in 3A, basically. So – let's go to 4A. Our top five in the RPI are Xavier at 1, Sergeant Bluff Luton 2, Gilbert 3, Decorah 4, and North Polk 5. Western Dubuque's in there at 9 right now, and that's pretty much it from the area. Anything that catches your eye in 4A in the RPI?
Not really. That the district 3 with Western Dubuque, you know, they I think they're they're the best team in that district. They've already beaten North Scott, but then you've got Burlington North Scott and Davenport North at 13, 14, 15. So, and Clinton at 20. So that's kind of an interesting, interesting district. Xavier and Decorah, they're 1-4. They play, will they play week 8 at Xavier? Is that right?
Let's see.
Yes.
I believe that, I think that's right. Yes. Yes. So, and then let's just look at 5A real quick. And again, in 5A, it'll be the top 16 RPIs that get in. So there's no districts or anything like that. So it'll just be the top 16 that get in. And right now it's what you would think it would be. Waukee Northwest, Dowling, Johnston, Valley are your top four. Then finally you get a break. You get Sioux City East is in there at 5. Liberty is 6. Iowa City West at 10. Cedar Rapids Prairie is 11. So all those teams, if the season ended right now, which obviously it doesn't, would be playoff teams. And then sitting in there at 16 is Dubuque Senior with Waterloo West and Cedar Rapids Kennedy 17 and 18. And Weston Kennedy just happened to play Thursday night in what will be an elimination game, right? Theoretically?
No. No? I think if the loser of that game would win its last two, they'd have a decent shot.
Okay.
But, you know, Kennedy's got Bettendorf and Dallas Center Grimes, two games that I think you could probably term as coin flip games, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Waterloo West still has Marshalltown. That should be a win. Waukee, probably a loss. So I think Kennedy is probably the team that can more afford to get beat, but boy, I wouldn't leave anything to chance.
And we talked again, Jeff and I did before we started the podcast was here you go. Right now, Waukee is your 15th team with a 2-4 record. Why is that, folks? Opponent record is 38-16. So they played
four really good teams.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that is by far, and if you look at the 5A, the winning percentage there is 704. And that is by far the toughest schedule of anybody in the state. So Waukee continues to win. They'll be in, right? If they win their last three, Jeff, at 5-4. And you think maybe even 4-5.
Oh, I think 4-5 is a lock to get them in.
Do you really?
I would say there's a better chance that they'll get in at 3-6 than they won't get in at 4-5.
Okay. Okay.
But they've got Dowling Northwest and Waterloo West. So they could be 2-6 and still be very much mathematically alive in week 9 when they play Waterloo West.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
And we mentioned Linmar is kind of fighting its way back. Linmar's number 25 in the RPI right now, which is other than Waukee, tops of the 2-4 teams. So that kind of gives you a little bit of an indication of RPI in the upper classes. And it's in Class A, 8-player, what we got? Top two in district play, or top four, excuse me, right? In the smaller classes.
Top four in A1, A2A, and top three in 8-player with two at-large teams. And those two at-large teams are based on the 17-point rule.
Okay. Okay. Very good. Very good. Hopefully you caught all that. It is kind of convoluted, but is what it is. Let's turn to Friday night, actually Thursday night, where we have a couple of games involving area teams and local teams. Iowa City West is on the road. I'm going to pull this up here because I just
Davenport Central lost
my screen. At Brady Street Stadium against Davenport Central, certainly West will be a prohibitive favorite there. And then we mentioned just briefly Cedar Rapids Kennedy and Waterloo West play at Kingston Stadium in a big game. Those are both Thursday night. 7 o'clock starts there. I'm kind of looking at Friday's schedule. You start with the big schools. I look at Cedar Rapids Prairie at Cedar Falls is a huge one, correct?
Yep. Yep. That game might be that might be a game to down the road that might determine who gets to host a first round game.
Okay. There you go. Elsewhere, Des Moines East host Iowa City High. Cedar Rapids Jefferson's at home against Bettendorf. Linmar is at Muscatine. Iowa City Liberty goes to Pleasant Valley as well. And then, looking at out in central Iowa, there's some pretty important games. Waukee Northwest, Southeast Polk play. Waukee and Dowling play. And then you got Sioux City East plays at Johnston. So another huge game there. So the schedule's pretty tough or pretty interesting out in central Iowa and western Iowa in 5A. Then you look at 4A, we've got, Newton at Clear Creek, Mana, Decorah hosts Mason City. Marion goes to Grinnell. We already talked about Xavier going to Memorial Stadium to play Waterloo East. Cedar Rapids, Washington goes up to Waverly to play Waverly Shell Rock. And that looks like all the games involving area teams in 4A. You look at 3A. You've got Maquoketa, Center Point, Urbana, Wallard and Assumption play at Assumption. That's a huge game for that district. And then Mount Vernon DeWitt Central. So two very important games district-wise there. Independence, as Jeff mentioned, hosts Benton Community. Washington, Iowa plays at Solon. West Delaware hosts Charles City. And then Williamsburg hits the road to play Winterset. And then you look at 2A. Let's go with Tipton at Bellevue, Anamosa at West Branch, Benton Shelsburg as at Dyke New Hartford, North Fayette Valley at Forest City, Elbernett at Monticello, Mediapolis at Mid Prairie, Denver at Olwine, and where are we at? West Burlington, Notre Dame is at West Liberty, and then New Hampton plays at Waukon and what used to be a Northeast Iowa Conference game, but no longer there. In Class 1A, Lisbon at Comanche, the Union Community at Waterloo Columbus, Iowa City Regina plays at Eddyville, Blakesburg, Fremont. Those games are played in Eddyville, I believe, by the way, folks, if you're interested in going. Cascade at MFL Marmac, Durant at Sigourney Keota, Jessup at Sumner Fredericksburg, in a top 10 game, actually. We didn't put I-35 in our rankings, did we?
Yeah, I think guys? They made it. I think they were in at 10.
So they play West Marshall in an important game between two very, very similar teams. And looking at Class A, we've got New London at BGM. No, we don't. That's right. New London is done for the season. My apologies. But BGM gets a bye week. Maquoketa Valley at North Cedar, Starmount at East Buchanan, number one against number four, West Sioux at MMCRU in a state game that's going to be huge. Midlands at North Lynn, and North Butler at Postville, Clayton Ridge at St. Ansgar, East Marshall at Wapsie Valley. That kind of wraps up the Class A
portion of our school. Danville plays Pekin this week. This will be Danville's first game in 21 days because they had back-to-back forfeits against Highland and New London.
Wow. Really? Because of low numbers and available numbers and things?
Low numbers.
Wow. And they decided to come back just in time to play an undefeated Pekin team.
So. No. Danville didn't get to play either of those teams. Highland and New London.
Oh, I see what you're saying. It's the other way around. Okay. All right.
Danville's been sitting and waiting, and now they get to play undefeated Pekin.
Man, you feel like cheated out of a season if you had to back-to-back, forfeit.
Yeah, they played four games.
Wow. Class A player, Edco at Calamus Wheatland, HLVTC is at Belle Plaine, Eastern Valley at Elkader Central, North Tama at Collins Maxwell, Eastern Valley at Elkader Central, West Central is at Dunkerton, Iowa Valley at English Valleys, Meskwaki Settlement at GMG, Central City at Key High, Winfield Mount Union at, Winfield Mount Union gets the bye this week, or no game. Tripola at Turkey Valley, Springville at Waco. And that's kind of wrapping up where we stand this week. Where's everybody at Friday night? Let's do that quick before we do who's got more.
Well, before we do that, I just want to mention, you know, Springville faces Waco this week. That's a winnable game for them.
Yep.
Springville was a team that had a gauntlet for a schedule early. Yep. You know, Iowa Valley, Edco, I think Easton Valley was in that. And now they've rattled off three straight wins and pretty decisive wins. To go from 0-4 to 3-4 and a chance to get to 500 here this week against Waco, who's 3-3. So nice turnaround for Springville the last few weeks.
Yeah, and the other of those four losses was Montezuma, a one-point gain, and Montezuma's very good.
Right.
And while eight-player teams, I believe, are just – most of them are scheduled for eight games, Springville will have nine regardless. Yeah. I think you can still – you know, teams that don't make the playoffs, I think, can still play each other. I think that's still a rule. But Springville, because it played the week zero game against Iowa Valley, has nine games on its regular season. And certainly you would think, especially if you can beat Waco here, we'll head on to the playoffs. So good on the Orioles for turning things around. Let's do who's got more. And then we'll talk about where everybody's at Friday night before we wrap up here. So I just threw some things together. You can debate how sensible they are, but let's just go with it. So, and this is all involving area schools here. Who's got more, guys? This is most touchdowns, total touchdowns. Non-eight player. Non-eight. And these are all area kids. So who's got more? Reese Reddick from Liberty, Kellen Haverback from Mount Vernon, or Cash Parks from Xavier? Who's got more total TDs?
So this is rushing and passing.
Correct.
Is this rushing and passing?
Yes, sir. Total. Yep. Touchdowns.
They'll go with Reddick from Liberty.
Yeah, that would be my guess first. But I think he
might have more rushing.
Yeah. You know what? I think Parks has an 18-0 pass to interception rate. And I think I'll go Parks. I think he's got three rushing touchdowns. You know, I got a little bit of an advantage because I do the capsules every week, so I get to do a little bit of looking. But I'm not looking right now. I'll go Parks, which probably means it's Haverback.
Haverback has 20. Reddick and Parks have 21 each. So I was giving you
– we were both right.
Yeah, you had a two out of three chance to get it right. So regardless, the three good players right there.
Yes.
Three really good quarterbacks. All right, let's go with kicking touchbacks.
Oh, jeez.
You know what's funny is I might get this right.
Okay, all right.
Because we had a kicker a quick kicker question in our four downs this week, and I was looking at that.
We'll see. There we go.
So I'll still get it wrong, but we'll see.
Of these three, and these lead the area, and this is – take all classes together. Who has the most touchbacks? Is it Julian Kramer of Dyersville Beckman? Logan Barton of Cedar Rapids, Washington? Or Christian Anguiano from Springville? Barton, Kramer, Anguiano. Touchbacks.
Do you want to go first, KJ, or you want me to?
I went first last time.
All right. Well, first of all, you need your team to score a lot to have a lot more kickoffs. I'm going to go Anguiano from Springville just because he doesn't have to kick it as far.
Oh,
interesting.
I'll go with that direction.
You know, I actually got to see him kick in the week zero game against Iowa Valley, and I was pretty impressed. I think Kramer is like in the 20-somethings. Maybe like 24 or 27 or something like that.
Where do you kick off from an eight player? Is it the 25?
That's a good question.
That's a hell of a question. I don't. I guess
I know a touchback is the 50. You start at the 15, but I think it might kick off from the 25. So you'd be kicking 55 yards.
Yeah. You know, and they score a lot more. I'm going to go with Anguiano as well.
All right. Touchbacks. Logan Barton from Washington has 24. Oh. Julian Kramer from Beckman has 24. Christian Anguiano of Springville has 34.
You betcha. So
you you guys are doing too well. These are bad questions, obviously. So
no.
All right. Team interceptions.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Team interceptions. Who's got more? Beckman, Solon, or West Branch?
I'll go first on this one. Team interceptions.
Beckman, Solon, West Branch. And they're all within one of each other.
Oh, okay. That makes a little – you know, I'm just – I'll go with – since I'm going out there this weekend to watch him – or this week to watch him play Washington, I'll go with Solon.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my guess too. I saw him have a lot of takeaways against Beckman the week I was out there. I'll go that direction too. Sorry to be a Debbie Downer on that.
All right. Team interceptions this season. Solon has 10. Dartersville Beckman has 11. Ah. West Branch has 12.
Wow. Okay.
So West Branch is the top intercepting team in our area.
Oh, you were asking for the most.
The most.
See, that's where I screwed up. Okay. I thought you wanted the least. My bad.
No, not thrown, grabbed. So I didn't explain
that. You wanted the most. I thought you were
saying. Yeah. Interceptions 4. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. All right,
so we'll give you a XX. We'll discount that question. So
that's a miss for me.
Yeah,
that's
a miss for me.
All right. This is 5A. These three schools, who has the most accumulated the most offensive yards? These three 5A schools.
Just in 5A?
This is all 5. This is 5A. And they're all close. So who has more? Cedar Rapids Prairie, Iowa City West, Iowa City Liberty. All very productive, high-flying, ground-running offenses.
That's most offensive yards total.
This is the most offensive yards total, yes.
Me first. I'll go West.
You're gonna go with West, all right?
See, I would go with West too, just because, you know, I don't think they, outside of the Liberty game, I don't think they've had a really tough schedule. But Prairie's got to be right. Prairie and Liberty both have to be right up there, don't they?
Yeah.
They are back-to-back-to-back in ranking.
All right, I'm gonna ride on Lindy's coattails and say West as well.
All right. Total offensive yards, Iowa City Liberty has 2,361. Prairie, 2,444. Ooh. West, 2,567. So West
you
is
betcha. A correct answer.
But they're all within –
I probably would have thought Liberty would be ahead of Prairie there, but
okay. All right, so who won?
I think we were both 3 for 4.
Okay.
Yeah, right, I think we kind of copied each other.
Oh, we split the first one.
That's right.
We split that first one. We both got right with different answers.
Well, I suppose I should have came up with it.
Oh yeah, that's right.
All right, here's your tiebreaker. What is the nickname of Whiting High School?
Warriors.
Over by Sioux City.
You said Warriors?
Yeah.
That'd be my guess, too.
Yep. All right. Well, I got no more tiebreakers, so you
nailed that. Was it really Warriors?
Yeah, it was Warriors.
We just can't miss.
No. I'm going to buy a lottery ticket right when we get done with this. This must be my lucky day.
All right, Friday night or Thursday night, I guess. That's me. Kennedy and Waterloo West. I'll be out at Kingston Stadium for that one. Friday, Pilcher, you said you're heading to Solon to see the the Spartans, correct?
Yep. I'll be out there for Solon and Washington, Iowa, coming to town. It'll be my first time watching Solon, so anxious about that. We're trying to set up an autograph session. maybe at outside of the softball diamond there from, I think we're going to try to do it from 601 to 604.
Okay.
Please bring your own Sharpies. We just have to work out security detail. If we can do that, we'll have it. If not, we'll have to reschedule. So,
and
follow me on Twitter.
As always, KJ only signs one per customer, and he personalizes everything because he doesn't want to see anything on eBay.
So keep that in mind. You nailed it.
Lindy, where are you going to be Friday?
I'm going to be at Independence, and I'm not signing anything. I got Benton and Independence, and looking forward to seeing that. I'm really hoping that the horseback riders is still a thing up there.
Have you ever had, what's the pizza place downtown there? It's not Bill's, is it?
Bill's Pizza.
Every time I drive through Independence, I want to stop and try that pizza, but I've never done it. I just wondered. It must be good. It's been there forever. So,
if anybody out there is listening from Independence or watching from Independence, let us know.
Yes, absolutely. Or maybe hook Jeff up with a free pie.
There you go.
He'll sign the pizza box for you.
There. I'll do that.
And give it back to you. So I'm going to hit the road as well. I'm going to head up to suburban Troy Mills for get a look at North Lynn. We haven't done that yet this season, and the Lynx are undefeated at 6-0 and play Midland. We'll be favored, but looking forward to that. Coach Colum, I don't know what you're barbecuing that night, but I'm interested. So let me know.
Smoke fest.
Yes, exactly. So our Twitter handles at KJ Pilcher, at Jeff JT Linder, and at JEJE66. We got the running scoreboard. Pilchy, you're working on a feature for Friday's games, correct?
Yep. Still TBD.
Okay.
So
look forward to that.
I'll have it out tonight and get that ironed out. And you can watch for it tomorrow afternoon at thegazette.com. We also have our four down segment as well as Lindy's breakdown of the RPI, the polls, and his games to watch for this week. I believe our correspondent Mike Condon is going up to Cedar Falls for Prairie Cedar Falls this week.
That's correct.
Yep. Doug Miles will be at Kingston for Cedar Rapids Jefferson's game there against Bettendorf on Friday night. Is that
Bettendorf?
Yeah.
Yep. Yep, 100%. So, all right, folks. Hope you enjoyed another episode of the Triple Option Prep Podcast. Don't listen to that other Triple Option podcast with that Urban Meyer guy. He doesn't know anything compared to us. So, thanks for joining us. And as always, we will let KJ take us out.
A special one for our friend John Hagerty, who always watches. Keep your head on a swivel.